You're listening to Positively Anti-Inflammatory, the show for people just like you who want to keep inflammation down and your spirits up. I'm your host, Alyssa Abrahamson, functional nutritional therapist and wellness coach. Today and every Wednesday, I'm here to be your coach and your guide as I offer insightful ways for you to lead a positively anti-inflammatory life. Hello and welcome to episode 137. Today we are, I have a treat for you today. We have a special guest. My friend Gabrielle is on the podcast and we are going to be talking about the magic of marrying yourself. Welcome, Gabrielle.
Hello. Hello. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so happy you're here. So I would first just like it to introduce you, and then I'm going to share how we met. So Gabrielle Heron is a voiceover and multimedia performance artist and has a long-standing professional tarot practice and herbalism. Gabrielle's self-wedding installation and performance called Till Death Do You Part, Marry Yourself, was created in 2006 as an art, emotional, and spiritual experience. And since Gabrielle's taken this self-marriage ritual around the world to various festivals and private functions, performing over 1,500 weddings. That's amazing. Wait, what do you call yourself again? A priest? What's
encouraging priestess?
Encouraging priestess, which is, I mean, I want to be around you encouraging priestess, you.
I'm the person who tells you it's okay to use the men's room when the women's line is too long. The encouraging priestess is all around you.
Ah, I love it. Maybe I'll have you back and we'll do a whole thing on the encouraging priestess.
On the encouraging priestess.
But welcome again. I'm so excited to talk with you today and share your creativity and your art and your ideas and your expertise and your love and your fun and your energy with talking about this really, really unique and interesting perspective on this idea of marrying yourself. But first, before we dive in, we need to just acknowledge that we've known each other almost 20 years and that you, so I've mentioned on the podcast, first of all, if you're a first-time listener, welcome. But I have mentioned several times on the podcast that in addition to being a nutritional therapist and holistic wellness coach, that I've also been a burlesque performer for over 19 years. And Gabrielle, we realized, I mean, I think I knew the whole time, but now that we're here together, that Gabrielle was at, so I perform solo and I have a dance partner, and the debut of my duet was February 2004, and Gabrielle was there at this fundraiser art party.
Yeah, in fact, I hired Darlinda.
Uh-huh.
Because she was like
my dance partner. Yeah.
So it all started with Darlinda, just Darlinda, and that's how I met you. And she said, well, I want to start getting into burlesque, and I have this group called the Polyester Players. And I said, I don't care. I just love you. I'm sure it'll be fine. Just do it. And you guys blew us away.
It was so fun. But what's super cool is at the time you were throwing, this was back in 2004. So, I mean, I know that this isn't New York in the 80s or 90s, but early 2000s, I've been in New York.
We did our best to emulate the craziness though.
The wild, like really progressive art parties. And it was so, I was a part of that scene back then, which was super. Just my, you know, I moved to New York in 2000, but you had an absinthe party. Or is that
it was difficult to find absinthe. First of all, that was any good or legal or whatever. And basically, you could also think of it as a kind of cocktail. It's a longer story legally, but we made it work and it was a private party anyway. But the whole point was that every guest was also a participant, and that's what made it fun. Mm-hmm. You weren't just showing up and having people like just serve you or just perform for you. Everybody had to participate through what they wore. There were constantly little things to do, even if it was just tasting new things, like somebody would go around with white chocolate and cardamom that went with a certain beverage. And then, you know, but there was also different walk around performers as well as staged performers. And the idea was that everyone there had to know someone in order to get generally me or Paige. And the idea was everyone there is a potential friend. And the thing that was amazing was you could go alone, but you would make friends so quickly there. It was so inviting and warm. Yeah. And that's why the scene thrived while it did.
Right. I'm very grateful for all my time in New York City, but those early years, just being thrust into this very unique, alternative, progressive cultural and art scene was like incredibly important and informative to my my life experience. So
it's hard to explain because a lot of people think of nightlife as something that you do, like going to a restaurant where you just sort of pay, do something, and leave. You know, you eat or you see a show or something. Whereas we treated nightlife more as lifestyle. And yeah. The idea was, oh, if you're invited, you're part of the family. You're part of whatever's going on. And you weren't just sitting in a dark room watching something that's lit up. You were in it. And you were tasting things and experiencing things that brought you into it and connected you to everybody else in the room. And that was a very special feeling. And I think we need more of that, frankly.
Well, I agree. And that's actually perfect because last year, it was last summer 2022, when you and I hadn't seen each other for a while. And we reunited at your house upstate New York. And then you were sharing with me about what you've done, this ritual of self-marriage. And I was completely enthralled and so interested and curious. And then now a year later, here you are on the podcast. And I'm just very, very eager to chat with you about this and share this idea, because I think that a lot of people will find it really connect with this idea and recognize how there are so many different ways that we can get in touch with ourselves, honor ourselves, take care of ourselves. And I think a lot of people don't, I think this is a very new idea for many people. So, and the idea is of marrying yourself and self-marriage. So I'm curious, I know in 2006, you started this at a festival and you started this installation and performance piece of marrying yourself, but how do you first become interested in this idea of marrying yourself?
Okay. So back in the 90s, this fun writer, astrologer fellow named Rob Bresny, sort of connecting astrology to healing and all this other stuff, but he was quite funny. So you could read it regardless. He had a really good following and at the Burn, long before I went.
The Burn, people don't know what the Burn is.
Oh, sorry. The festival called Burning Man, which you may or may not have heard of. And anyway, so he went to this big festival and he did this thing where he supposedly married an audience of people where they basically just shouted back things that he said. And you know, that's fine. But I thought, wow, wouldn't it be cool to really do it? Like really do it. And I'd never heard of the idea before that, but it turns out that there were books and things about it and people were, it wasn't like I invented it, but in my mind, it was something that happened privately. I didn't know about these other people until much later. It was more that one seed got planted and I turned it into marrying myself. And I went through the whole process and I learned a lot about what I felt and went through and I felt like a lot of things were missing. And I thought, wow, it'd be nice if I had some kind of help or whatever. And the idea of officiating a marriage to the self occurred to me because you can get distracted and all this other stuff, although some people have the focus to do it all themselves, and that's fine. Anyway, so some years later, there was this opportunity to do a piece that's called Theater for an Audience of One. And that is a style of theater where you have one person in front of you and you perform for them, or you make them do something or whatever, and it's theater. And I thought, oh, the marry yourself thing would be great in this context. And I just have to do a mini version of it where I provide all the stuff, like a quickie Elvis style Vegas chapel, right? You come in and they've got the costumes and they even might have multiple choice vows if you can't think of anything. And I created the festival piece where you have the vows right there to start spurring you into thinking of your own vows, or you can check those off. But there were rings and things you could use as a bouquet and costumes. And the whole point of this was not to be like a traditional wedding, but to express yourself. So the costumes were all over the place and people wore all kinds of things that they wouldn't normally wear, but they felt express themselves, which says a lot. And then the bouquets, there was some sort of flower thing, but it was a lot of things you could hold that were just meaningful. Everything from like a big piece of beautiful cotton on a stick or a weird piece of art or a skull or just an orb. We had all kinds. You picked whatever you wanted. You got fussed over like a bride, regardless of age, gender, anything. And then you have to go through this little tunnel. We always made a tunnel. And then you meet the encouraging priestess. Hello. And then you get to choose if you'd like to divorce yourself. Because that was a joke people always make. Can I divorce myself? And I'm like, yes, actually, you can. And there are parts of you that you might want to let go of. And maybe you'll have a better wedding. And inevitably, anyone who did the thing where they released whatever was holding them back always had a better wedding.
Of course.
And even in situations where it was like 5 to 10 minutes where they look in front of the mirror and they're holding this stuff and they look kind of wacky because just like in a regular wedding, you go through all the stuff, the catering, blah, 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 blah. And suddenly you're face to face with reality of your vows, which is what everything hangs on. And suddenly you're looking in the mirror, and as you're a priestess, I whisper it in your ear and make you look in the mirror. You cannot look away. You're not marrying the curtains. You're not marrying the floor. Look into your own eyes and say, whatever you've chosen, I will not lie to myself. I will always find myself beautiful, whatever you've chosen. And people would just break down and cry, and I'd hold them or whatever happened. Some people were just elated, everything you can imagine. And then we get them all ready. They come out and they get celebrated by who's ever there, because as you come out, everyone in the room is instructed to cheer like hell and go crazy for whoever's come out, and you get confetti or whatever, and then you get your personal wedding cake and your wedding photo. We take a photo and email you. And that was the performance art piece.
Wow.
Very quick, everything provided like a quickie chapel style. And then from there, I got private clients who wanted to do it for real with a lot of planning. And there are all different ways of doing it because you don't have to please another person. No in-laws, no groom, no bride. Like, it's just you. It's you and all of the people you are. And that goes back to being kind of a polymath. In your case, you have such a wide variety of things that you do and excel in. And that's so human and beautiful. And I certainly have a very checkered past. And so does anybody who exists on this planet. You are someone at work. You are someone who has a private experience with family and with friends. We are so many people, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you honor that and nurture it and work on the best parts of yourself? And it begins with some decisions and some follow through, whether you do it consciously or not. And so the ritual just allows you to name it.
Long,
but there you go.
I love it.
That was the path.
Yeah, I love it. So this idea of the thought, so people are asking, oh, can I divorce myself? That's really interesting. So what does that mean? I mean, because when you think about this idea of marrying yourself, so many of us, you know, like people have issues with who they are. Like, they don't fully accept themselves, or they don't accept parts of themselves or their body or their life experience, or they have regrets and frustrations and they think that they're not, you know, complete enough or whole enough or perfect enough or whatever. So you said that people were asking, oh, can I divorce myself? And you said, absolutely, yes. So what, you know, if someone's curious and interested in this idea, but then like, oh, what about divorcing myself? What is that? Like, what can you, like, I would love to hear your thoughts about that idea, about divorcing yourself first and how that makes it more powerful.
So we're doing these festival pieces to begin with. It was before I had the private clients. And the thing about a festival is that your mind is elsewhere. You're wandering around and you're eating a corn dog, or you're seeing some circus things, or you're seeing a band, and suddenly you see this installation and it's very intimidating. Because there are two people at a desk and there are clipboards, and you have to tell them whether you allow us to use your photo in the future or not, which we really don't care. It's mostly that, hey, it's great if we can, but it's also the experience of signing in. It feels very official to sign things and whatever. And then you get your bowl of rings and costumes and this and that, and you see people getting ready and they're having fun. but you're also suddenly presented with, you're like, I don't know, what are my vows? I don't know what, and then suddenly you get this list of possible choices you can choose from if you want to inspire you, but they're kind of heavy. So you've just been wandering around, just having a little fun, and suddenly you're contemplating your deep life choices. People sometimes dive right into this because they're the kind of people who are always working on themselves. But most people start laughing nervously. And The first joke they make without thinking what they're even asking is, oh, well, I need a divorce first. I need to divorce myself first. And what they don't realize is that we've heard it all. We've really thought about this. So no matter what they say, we have an answer very quickly, that we say very quickly and with a lot of love, but people aren't ready for basically walking into something that's a little churchy in a way. You know, all these things intimidate people. And so the first moment they say that, we say, oh yeah, that's at the top of the vow suggestion. So please let us know what part of you would like to divorce. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all ready. And yeah. So it's kind of in fun, and you could totally just make a vow that all you're going to do is eat ice cream for the rest of your life. But that also plays into it in a very interesting way. So even if you take it as a total joke, or you take it totally seriously, or do something in the middle, we're ready for you. And the divorce thing is interesting because suddenly you're forced to think. And every once in a while, people totally freak out, go, I can't do this, and suddenly get very nervous and totally walk away. But most people go, well, it's free and I have hours to kill and, well, whatever, I'm going to try this. And they sit down with their pen and their clipboard. And most people don't even bother writing their own vows. They just start ticking things off because I've given it a lot of thought. And we've done the shadow work to create the vows, because any vow that you're going to say to yourself is about supporting yourself. Mm-hmm. And naming it is really intense because most people don't bother. Even in therapy, they kind of just talk their feelings through, but to be able to say it very clearly is a little nerve-wracking, especially when you're seeing it come from a stranger and they're nailing it and you're going, whoa, I feel seen. And the divorce part is the same kind of thing. It's the vows are how you support, but the divorce part is, what are you getting rid of? What's hurting you? Is it abusive relationships? Is it the abusive relationship with yourself? Like, do you say mean things to yourself? Like, oh, I'm so stupid, or whatever it is. Cleansing yourself of that, even in a quick situation, suddenly is profound. So you've just gone through this soul searing thing where people are going, okay. And you're just, okay. And you hand over this clipboard, and then suddenly you're picking through fun little bouquets. You're like, wow, what bouquet goes with getting rid of these people who hurt me in my life once and for all? Or what do they say? Whoa. And then, so you're wearing like a fun hat, and you can also choose armor. We had a little armor you could throw on. Wow. You know, you could be Joan of Arc. You could be a little gayer and have capes, or mix them all together, whatever you want. Cause it's just you. It's not you and someone else. You no longer have to think about what anybody else thinks. What do you think? All of this is, even in a few minutes, just bowls people over. And then when they get into the room with me and they're all alone and there's nobody else to make fun of them or whatever, I'm like, all right, what are we getting rid of today? Who are you divorcing?
Oh my God.
Whoa. You know, and some people are like, yeah, I need to exercise more. I'm like, okay, so you're getting rid of your fear of exercising. How do you want to phrase it? We find the phrase. And when they say it out loud, and then we do this quick little thing where we imagine it and then we destroy it and we send it out to oblivion, never to come back. Like, woo, you know, and I do a little surprise thing that kind of jolts them and they get like a little, woo, you know. And it kind of centers it in your body. That's the whole point of that. It gets that thought and feeling centered in your body. Like, okay, we're done. We're not going to. And when you see it again, say, I sent you away already. No, thank you, trash. You hurt me. I don't need you. And then when they sit down or whatever, they move just a foot over to the mirror and look in their own eyes and say things that are supportive and actually say them. And I'm like, it's just you. There's nobody else. I'm not even really here. I'm just keeping you from having to read. I'm just reading into your ear. I'm just the voice in your head. And then they say it into their eyes, and then it really anchors whatever they got rid of. There's room for love is the idea.
Wow.
And it's amazing. You know, we started it off kind of jokey, and here's the funny thing. Let's say that you pick something ridiculous. Like, I promise to always wear size 7 shoes or whatever you say, some really ridiculous safe thing. When you say it to yourself in the mirror, you feel a little stupid because you realize that you are actually afraid to say something more profound. And that's one of the more wonderful things when people go, I can't believe I chose such a stupid thing. You know, this is a good opportunity. And I'm like, you know what? Make it fun. It's okay. Support yourself in the moment. You know what? You are the most beautiful size 7 ever, you know, or whatever. And they go, and I said, you know what? This is just a festival. You can do this again. You could do it every single day of your life. It's just you and you. It's you. Mm-hmm. And you could do this in a bathroom when no, like, you could just stop and like make a vow and go, I promise to always say kind things to myself. And when I hear myself say something mean, I will shove it away. Whatever it is, you know, that's an easy one, but they can get more intricate. And I said, you can do this anytime. And that's why on the bottom of the vows, which we put in plastic containers so that you can put like drinks on them and they survive. People tell me they find their vows years later and that they were actually helpful in ways they didn't realize. But the bottom is the website and they can always go back and check it out. I was like, you can do this for real. I was like, you can do this in the most beautiful wedding dress ever as many times as you want, because it's just you. You don't have to plan with anybody else if you don't want. This is your power. Right. This is your superpower. And so that's when even people who suddenly realize, well, like, wow, I really was afraid to go there. What, that's so silly. I can't believe in it. Because they're suddenly in a supportive environment where it's safe and they never expected to be safe.
Mm.
So the divorce thing is an interesting path, no matter how defensive people are. Because there is a moment where they just give in and go, yeah, I do need to get rid of some stuff, right? Yeah. And some people already know and they come ready.
Yeah. So that's so interesting. So over the years, so in this festival experience, that makes sense. And then maybe, you know, someone does it and then they are meeting their friend 2 hours later and they send them off to the tent. Oh, go to the marry yourself tent. And they're, you know, and they have a moment to think about it. Oh, wow. I went through it and actually was more powerful than I thought. So that's super interesting and like a great fun opportunity. But then I'm also curious about the people who are seeking you out privately or who want to create this experience for themselves privately, not in a, you know, theatrical, like festival experience.
Sure. Like at home or whatever.
Yeah. So I'm curious to hear about that, but also, you know, and I think, you know, I was thinking, well, what does it mean to marry yourself? And I think it's just going to be different for every single person. You know, that's a unique experience. I think if we were sitting around, you know, at a dinner party with 8 people around the table and we just had a conversation, what does it mean to marry yourself? I would be so enthusiastic to hear everyone's thoughts, you know, but in your experience, what would be the goal of marrying yourself? That's one. And then also, and if you want to share your ideas and your thoughts of what it means to you, I think the goal might be different than what it means, but then if people are interested in doing it more, you know, privately and kind of maybe more like formal, informal, in that it's a dedicated space and time that they want to do this, what would that look like? So I don't know. Okay. I just asked you like 3 questions all in one.
Yeah. So the 2 things to separate are the difference between a wedding and a marriage.
Uh-huh.
A wedding is an event. So the wedding helps. It's basically your mission statement made physical. You have a physical action that goes with words, ideally words that mean something to you. And that is the crux of any ritual. But what's interesting about weddings is that they are secular as well as spiritual as well as religious. We have them in every single context. And it's basically a commitment ceremony. Mm-hmm. And so when 2 people marry each other, they're making a commitment to move forward together as a unit. and ideally with a similar path where they can walk alongside each other and have certain goals met.
Okay.
So that's the idea there. And one of the reasons why you make it public is so that someone can't later say, I didn't marry you. You have witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
But with yourself, you don't need another witness. You can choose to have a witness because that's helpful, but you don't need it. You are your own witness. You're never going to say, I never did that, because you know. That's the thing. You do know. And to acknowledge that self-knowledge is part of it. Because a lot of people go through life without thinking of this stuff. So you're beginning to witness how you feel. And in therapy, that happens. But a lot of people aren't in therapy. And any ritual is basically a prayer. And a prayer is where you connect with a more ethereal part of yourself. You're not just cleaning the house. You're cleaning the house with your emotions and your sense of being connected to the universe, however it is that you do that. And you could pray and just pray as you walk around, do things, or you could stop and put your hands together, or you could stop and count a rosary, or you could light a candle, or you could light some incense. Whatever it is that you do is a great mnemonic device because it helps you get into the mood and it helps that prayer sink in more deeply. Mm-hmm. Now imagine if you also went to a special room in your house or a church or a yoga studio or wherever you go that you feel connected more to your highest self, to your idea of divinity. And so that's when prayer turns into ritual. And then a wedding is just one of the most common rituals ever that has been done by ancestors all over the world for thousands and thousands of years. It is a commitment ceremony with actual procedures that we recognize. Now, marriages are commemorated all around the world in different ways. Like in the United States and in your typical sort of, I'll call it European wedding, it's supposedly the most beautiful day of your life and you dress up and you get everyone together and it's supposed to be awesome, which is why it's scary because you don't want to be disappointed. In other cultures, also Europeans, some of them, they make sure that you struggle on the day of your wedding so that every day after is better.
And wow.
I've been to that in a really fun way when he married his wife. They married each other, of course, but I think he planned a lot of
Wait, who?
A friend of mine.
Oh.
So he did all these different cultures. And one of them is you have to kidnap your wife. And so that gets set up with your friends, which is hilarious because it's very hard to do for real. So, of course, it was a lot of like her going, la, 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 I'm not going to be kidnapped here. Right. You know, like it was pretty fun, but
like
sure
she
enough,
was
kind of knew something was going on when he's like, go to this bar and just have a drink. She's like, at 2 on a Saturday. What? Sure enough, he showed up with friends in a van who were wearing like a thing over their heads and they kidnapped her. And then then the funniest part was his friends then who were in on it actually took her to a place he didn't know. So he had to actually go and figure out where they went and had to actually rescue her, which was so amazing
cool.
and funny.
That's
because
funny.
She totally knew who these people were because they can't hide their voices. And she's like, I know this fan, whatever. But she went in. And then when they got home, there was another ritual where they were suddenly brought downstairs, stripped to their underwear, and they had plastic down on the floor, and they brought fish and they slapped their feet with fish, which they later cooked, by the way. But it's a whole thing of like terrible things happen on your wedding day so that your marriage is, first of all, you trauma bond a little. That's the idea. And then every day after is amazing or you is better than that.
Uh-huh.
So I love that. You could totally go that route. You could do anything you want. That's it. You can do anything you want. So all of those things are meaningful. You have to choose what works for you. It all hangs on the vows. Anything else is just a party, which is fine. I love a party. But the way a wedding differs from, say, other rituals or other just gatherings is it hangs on the vow of a commitment to something, anything. I promise mm-hmm. to always take care of my body, or I almost, you know, and you're going to stray. And that's okay, because once you make the vow, you have a focus to get you back on. You're like, wait, you know what? I vowed and I need to get back to that. So it gives you a center line to help you focus and remember that you care when you get a little sad or depressed or shit happens, and you just, you know what good is because you've stated it.
It's so interesting because, you know, when I work with my clients there, I mean, there's a lot of change and goals that are present that needs, that they want to do and happen. And then people are feeling frustrated with themselves because they tried something and then they don't follow through. And so there is that self-doubt, that there is that, you know, disappointment in themselves. And so how do, like, if someone wants to marry themselves and make a commitment to prioritize their health or something, you know, whatever that is, how can we encourage that this create setting like an intentional, because I'm all about just intentional living, but setting an intentional ritual or something around it. So like you just said, we all falter. We're human. We're not perfect. Progress over perfection. Healing is not linear. All of that.
Yeah. But there is a way.
But I mean, I'm not really finishing my question, but I feel like you have something to say.
Yeah. I think the most important thing, and this is what's lovely in a wedding, as we're still on the wedding part of it.
Yeah.
Is when you sit down to write your vows, it's not something you should do in 5 minutes. In the festival, we've done a lot of the thinking for you. But when you really sit down to do it, the first thing you have to do is say, okay, I love myself enough to do this. And you should love yourself as much as you love anyone else. Like whoever you love most in the world, like what would you do for them? Or what would they do for you? And the first thing is, and this is my favorite vow, is you begin with, I will always forgive myself.
Huge.
You build it in. You build in how you handle failure.
Yes.
And know that there is a plan. Like this, the whole point of a wedding is it's a mission statement. It's a plan. It's like a lot of rituals people do might be like, I'm going to pray for money. Or I'm going to pray. This is a prayer towards how to love yourself, knowing that there are challenges and how you meet those challenges. So you build that into it. It's not just one vow. You could have 100 vows. You could have 10, whatever. And you can build those in. And when you write them down, and ideally you can also see them written somewhere in a drawer or on a wall, whatever you do, on your screensaver. So it pops up when you least expect it, whatever. You go, oh, right. I will never be mean to myself. So when I do that, I'm like, wait, I promise. Okay, right. Not doing that. And so you build those fail safes in. It's not just, I promise to always, because it's not just a laundry list of promises. It's often things you already do and that you're actually commemorating too. Like a lot of it, it shouldn't be a to-do list. It should be things that you already do, but you want to really commit to it. Mm-hmm. And maybe some things that you feel that you should do, but haven't, but like build structure around that to help you do it. And maybe write in like, okay, so how will I do that? I will do that by journaling, by calling up my best friend and making a pact with him or her that, that I can call them in the middle of the night and not bother my spouse, because this is not about not marrying another person as well. It's, how will you structure your personal relationships can also be factored into your self-marriage. I will always, you know, make sure that the people around me are supportive as well, as best they can, in ways that I can manage. Like everybody has faults. Are they faults you can handle? Right. Anyway, so that's the wedding. The marriage part is the day-to-day. So ideally the wedding helps you structure some of that because you're already married. You know, this is like that situation where you've been living with your partner, if you will, forever. And suddenly you go, you know what? Let's add a little structure to this. Let's add a little a little festivity into how we deal with the day to day. How do we do that? And then you stop and you have this wedding, but the wedding's just an event, which you can have as many times as you want. But the marriage is how you wake up, how you go to sleep, and all the time in between.
Right.
Whether right. anyone else is around or not. And, right. and so how do you support that situation? And I just thought that this was a really fun way to do it.
I love it. So what's the goal of marrying yourself?
The goal of marrying yourself is clarity. That's it. And you do it in the way that you would enjoy the most, I suggest, as the encouraging priestess. So for example, I suggest that if you're the type of person who gets distracted, like me, when I married myself, there were a lot of things I hadn't thought through because it's basic event planning. And so I often talk about that moment where I wanted to do it somewhere special. So I ended up in my friend's beautiful backyard in Beverly Hills when I knew he'd be gone for the day. So I knew that he would be weirded out, but he was cool with it. I told him ahead of time, but I didn't want him like looking through the window going, what the hell is she doing? And so I had spent like a week shopping for all the stuff, which really I should have spent maybe a month or more, really choosing things. And I found that I was really dealing with my inner bride and groom and all the advice I was ever given and really fighting with myself on all these different things. It was so fascinating to suddenly realize all the different parts of myself coming through with simple choices like, do I get a ring? How do I commemorate? Do I even want to wear a ring? Will it be a necklace? Will I always wear it? Should I get a tattoo? I don't know, you know, and then what do I wear and what color do I wear? And is it something I'm ever going to wear again? Is it something I want to wear to everybody else's wedding? I don't know, like so much crossing my mind. And then, so there I am with my favorite foods. And all of a sudden I finally figured it all out. And there I was, knowing that I had to be there at like a certain hour or else he was going to come home a few hours later. And so I did it all by myself, like all by myself. And wow. I left it open afterwards to do whatever I wanted. It was like, I was going to maybe, I don't know, I'll figure it out. Sure enough, I go through it and I had nowhere to really aim my vows. So I ended up putting them in a journal. But if I'd had the mirror, and I didn't even know to do that then, I think it would have been way more potent, scarier for the neighbors who were maybe, who's that talking to the mirror? Whatever. And I'm probably due for another one soon. I should probably marry myself again because I've grown a lot since and I've learned so much. Yeah. But had I a friend there whom I trusted, who wasn't going to make me feel stupid in any way, like someone truly supportive, you got to really be careful when you invite people because they'll be like, yeah, sure. And then when you're there, they start giggling in ways that make you feel weird or awkward, you know, and that is such a confidence killer. You need somebody who will hold your hair when you vomit. That's the friend you need, right? That's the friend who should be there to help you, or an officiant who's totally supportive of whatever. You want to be naked with glitter. You could wear whatever you want, including be naked, or wear a stupid outfit that stupid meaning that you might feel awkward in public with it. Whatever it is, it's something at the moment you're like, this is what I need for this moment, and not be ashamed. Shame is a killer because it really is just you. And if you don't feel comfortable with your own feelings about this stuff, that needs to be examined. And that's why it's something you shouldn't just do so quickly, because as you start writing this list of stuff, whether it's the items that you need or the venue, make sure the venue is absolutely supportive. Whether it's a place that you rent out or it's your own house or a friend's house or a park, whatever you figure out is all about supporting so that you can feel safe and loved. And figuring this out takes a minute.
Right. Right. It's kind of like take yourself seriously and give yourself the time and dedication. Like you deserve to marry yourself.
And then that should be one of the happiest moments of your life that you can turn to during your marriage of the rest of your life. When you're feeling down and you go, wait, there was that moment in the park, in the rent in the karaoke bar that I rented the room for 6 hours because I knew no one would bother me or care if I made a bunch of noise or whatever you've chosen.
Yeah.
You go, wait, I'm better than this. I'm better than whatever I'm doing to myself that's not constructive.
You've talked about the ceremonies of commitment. So what does it mean? Like, what is self-commitment?
Where you stick with it somehow, even when you don't.
Yeah.
Where you have a baseline.
Yeah. Yeah. And what can we say to people who have that insecurity about themselves and that disappointment or frustration? Again, I'm just bringing that back because it's such a common human life experience to be on a journey and on a path. And especially anyone who's listening to this podcast is someone who is seeking and working on themselves. So, you know, they're here because they are self-aware and they're cultivating more self-awareness and want to heal their relationship with themselves and with their body. So this idea of self-commitment, I just don't think I've really used that term so often. I think it's really
kind of amazing to think of it that way. And it's just a framing. And the first thing I want to say about anybody listening to this is if you're hearing this, it's because you've already started that path to self-love. You're already, whether you say it to yourself or not, you know you're beautiful and worth it.
Right.
You know this. On some level, no matter how much you tear yourself apart. And one of the things in this video that I made for a group called the Magical Women Conference, which I am now making public. By the time you hear this podcast, it'll be on the Encouraging Priestess website. There's also a meditation. And the meditation's kind of long and you can break it up if you want into pieces. There are 4 pieces, but you can do the whole thing. And I think that it's worth doing the full 20 some minutes. But there's this moment where you contact your future self. And it could be you a week from now or you 20 years from now. The thing to remember is that someone who's old, like usually quite a bit older than themselves, when you look back, you know, no matter what you were doing, you were kind of cute. You're like, older you always thinks that younger you is pretty cute. So, you know, like whatever it is, like I'm sure when you were a kid, there was some embarrassing moment and you're like, I hate myself, you know, you get hard on yourself or something. And then when you're in your 20s and 30s, looking back to like a picture of you when you were 6, when you were 8, you thought the picture was dorky. But right. When you're 20 something, you're like, oh, come on. You're so cute. You're all right. God, you're going through some shit, but oh, you know, and 90-year-old you, and say we can do that. Imagine 150-year-old you, you know, who maybe had some ins in the scientific community, and there you are in your rocking chair with your cocktail, or whatever it is you're doing. And you look back to 50-year-old you and you're like, oh my God, you had no idea how fucking cool you were, how cute you are, you know? And so with that perspective, get over it because you incarnate and then you die. So just, I don't know. Get over it and just try to make it better because it, no matter what horrible thought you may be thinking of, and I think about suicide a lot and what makes those choices. And ultimately, you're not getting out of here alive. You're not. So don't worry. No need to hurry it. Right. There's no need. You know, so, there are situations that I don't want to get into, but I'm saying that's the darkest moment, right? Like that's the darkest I can think of is that kind of self-harm. Right. And what has pulled me out of it are 2 things. One is, why am I hurrying it? For whom? And if I could do anything I wanted, like if, say, money were not, you say these things like, okay, I'm going to kill myself, then it's over. Okay, well then, but I don't know. Maybe I just don't like where I'm living. Can I change that? Or maybe I don't like this person who's around me. Do I just need to buck up and kick them out or move out? And that's hard, but I can do it. And then things could be pretty good. Like, what would actually be good? Well, I'd like to travel. Well, there's got to be a way to do it. And one of the ways I figured out was I figured out how to work in situations that took me into a travel mode. Whatever it is, there's something you can do. If you've incarnated and you have a body, even if it's not in the best shape or you're in some pain, there is a way. There is a way to make it better. Maybe not perfect, but your journey is something you actually have a lot of control over. And once you accept that, and that's kind of scary because it's also easier to just blame everything else.
Right.
So that's the dark part is when you are in control, then you have responsibility. But then look at the bright side of that, if you can, and say, well, I can also bring some whimsy. And it might be as simple as scheduling it as if you're scheduling something for someone else, where you put it in your schedule and people say, hey, are you busy? And you look in your calendar and, oh, it was just a date with yourself, but you have the strength and the moral fortitude, hopefully, with, you know, maybe some therapy or some commitment exercise or whatever it takes to tell that person, no matter how much you think they're wonderful or you're scared of them or whatever it is, to say, no, I'm busy. And you go and do that thing that you want to do, whether it's to hang out with a particular person or by yourself or to see a movie by yourself or to take a drive and you just drive for a while. Maybe you rent a car and drive a while. I don't know. Whatever it is, there's something you can do.
Right.
And that's very powerful. There's always something that can be done. You might need help, but it's doable.
And we're here for you to help. So yeah. I have...
You're part of that. You're part of that system of help.
I have one last question. It's kind of everything we've been talking about, but I haven't asked it specifically. Why is there magic in marrying yourself? Like, why is there magic in marrying yourself?
So I define magic as causality, right? As making something happen. You take something that doesn't exist and you bring it into being. And that can be as simple as an idea for a song, a chair, a child, a poem, a new thing you're going to eat. Whatever it is, you have the power to make something happen. And that ability I call magic. And the same way that we may not understand how electricity works, but isn't it great that we can just plug something into a wall and next thing you know, we have air conditioning or lights or music, you know? Imagine what our ancestors would think of any of us hurling through space in a metal box complaining about Spotify.
Right.
Whatever. Like, what music comes through the sky? You don't just need musicians to show up at your house. You know, like my grandmother was born in 1896. She didn't have radio. She didn't have a refrigerator. She didn't have, I doubt she had electricity back then, you know, and certainly airplanes and maybe a bicycle. I don't know. We are in an incredible moment in history. And we've made these things happen, and nothing could be more magical to the richest king in the world 200 years ago. 200 years ago, somebody who had really nice clothing and servants and a castle would have loved some air conditioning on a hot day. You know, we have so much in this world available to us, and certainly there are people in the world who don't have these things, but it exists. And for the most part, if it's on Earth, we can access it. There is a way. And some of us have way more privilege than others. But whatever it is, we can find things that we want to make things better. And that is magical. We can conduct magic all the time in different ways. And thinking of it that way makes it a little bit more fun. It adds a little bit of glitter to the ordinary.
I love it. Gabrielle, thank you so much. I do often talk about the fact that I'm a Capricorn, and you are a fellow Capricorn.
Very much about rolling up the sleeves and making magic, making the chore happen.
I just want to honor the Capricorn. You are a December Capricorn. I'm a January Capricorn. But yay Capricorn. So anyway, I just needed to, for all my listeners out there who are like into astrology, like I am, just wanted to acknowledge the Capricorns in the house.
Yeah, we can get, that's a whole other podcast.
That is a whole other podcast.
Embracing Saturn.
Embracing Saturn, our ruling planet. So anyway, I appreciate you. I'm so grateful to know you. I am thrilled for this conversation. I love you. I love your perspective. I love what you bring to the world. And thank you for sharing it here on Positively Anti-Inflammatory. How can people find you if they want to work with you or connect with you, learn more, etc.? Where can people find you?
Come to encouragingpriestess.com.
Encouragingpriestess.com. Okay, great. So I will put that in the description of the podcast so people can find you there. And thank you so much, Gabrielle. I appreciate you. This has been so, so fun. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. This is wonderful. And it's been such an honor to be here. Thank you so much. And so much love to anybody listening. You're wonderful and clearly smart enough to know that you're awesome.
So. Agreed.
You're worth it. As
you're worth it. There you have it. The magic of marrying yourself with Gabrielle Heron. I love Gabrielle. I think she is so smart and so thoughtful, and she has such a wealth of wisdom and experience, and just brings this such a unique, really beautiful, intellectual yet spiritual perspective on this idea of connecting with yourself and marrying yourself. And she's so creative and so inviting and welcoming. And if you are interested, I highly encourage you, recommend reaching out to her and connecting with her. I know that she would love to hear from you. And until next week, say something nice to yourself, slow down when you eat, and say yes to rest. Hey, if what you're hearing resonates with you, I created a free resource just for you, Anti-Inflammatory Living, The Essential Guide. To get your free copy, head over to guide.thewellnessheadquarters.com. That's guide.thewellnessheadquarters.com to receive your free Anti-Inflammatory Living, The Essential Guide.